Hello?
Yes, sir. I'll just take a minute of your time there. I just sent you a couple of emails that are kind of important. I put you in the BCC line.
I saw, a couple of those come in.
All right. I played the Zionist like a fiddle. and he posted an email I sent him last night.
Yeah.
In his blog, which is perfect. Now,
right.
That has to do with the Maritimes and Byron Pryor and the Catholic Church and sexual abuse and stuff.
All right.
If you look at the first email I sent you.
The one that says,
let me make this perfectly clear.
Advice, please allow me to make this perfectly clear.
Yes, all right. Click on that one.
All right. Yep.
All right. You see how I tell everybody, fuck you?
Yeah.
Now click on the link for Bacon Fat.
Bacon Fat, right. It's coming up.
All right. Now, I suckered him last night, and he posted an email of mine that is very important.
Okay.
Now, you see the text of the email where Byron Pryor, a year ago, as Bernie Madoff was pleading guilty, filed my documents in Newfoundland Supreme Court.
Okay.
The instant he did that, they put him in the loony bin.
Okay.
It had nothing to do. It had nothing to do with his matters. It had. I had written a defense and counterclaim for him 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they put that in the Judge Derek Green safe. And then they prosecuted him once, and they found out it was illegal to prosecute him under that. You know, slander is a crime in Canada.
Right.
Section 300. So they tried him. He won. They had it in the Supreme Court. He won. Never even shut him down. They prosecuted him again, trying to shut him up about sexual abuse. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he realized he was fucked because he's got all this nest of evil friends. He thinks they're his friends, but they're not. They were people playing him like a fiddle, and he was too stupid to understand.
Okay.
And the day that he figured out that all his friends had bailed on him and he was truly screwed, he had offended me 5 years ago. And by the text of his own email, he says, I've stayed away from conversations with you, Dave, because things are too complicated. But he had seen, because I had forwarded him my communications with the U.S. attorney where I was involved in the Bernie Madoff matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he had received the same emails.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the opportunity to file my documents in his criminal trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a witness to what happened to his family 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he had signed an affidavit 8 years ago or more, 10 years ago, saying he was a liar. And I said, Byron, they'll use that affidavit against you anytime they want, because are you lying then or are you lying now? You signed an affidavit that you were a liar 10 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I can't be a witness to what happened to you. I wasn't there. But I can make you a witness to my matters, because believe you me, they're far bigger than yours, because I caused those hearings at the Senate Banking Committee and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I served the fellow who became the Lieutenant Governor of Newfoundland by way of a fellow that was president of the Liberal Party here, and then he served the Premier of Newfoundland and the Law Society and the Lieutenant Governor of the Newfoundland at the time, got all their signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had me locked up in the States and they thought they were going to get rid of me forever, they pounced on him big time, took away his welfare check, and sued him. Anyway, I wrote his defense and counterclaim, and I showed you the last statement where I said our enemy is Count Peter Hans Klovenbach.
Right.
That's why they stuffed it in the safe. You understand?
Right.
Now, because of that thing, and they stuffed it in the safe, a whole bunch of people became his instant fans because of Count Peter Hans Klovenbach and what I did. But I'm the guy that don't exist. So then he made a deal with Stephen Harper, who's the Prime Minister of Canada now, and he promised he would help him once he was Prime Minister. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He made a deal with the devil. And sure enough, as soon as Harper became Prime Minister, Byron Pryor went up to Parliament Hill and protested the whole summer. People were financing him. And guess who his best buddy was? A big-time Jesuit priest. So anyway, Danny Williams over in Newfoundland, he's Premier of Newfoundland, he's trying to upset Harper. And they even wrote a book about Byron Pryor, hardcover book. And he was a, this was like in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that was assisting Byron Pryor in Newfoundland got arrested. Even SWAT teams into their houses.
Wow.
As soon as Byron Pryor got back to Newfoundland, Danny Williams pounced on him and prosecuted him. As I said, he won his first trial. So he thought he was cock of the walk, back to Parliament again, protesting again, back to Newfoundland, and Danny Williams prosecuted him again. But Danny Williams, Premier, he owns the Justice Department. And Danny Williams, when he was a lawyer for all the fellows that were diddled by the Catholic Church at Mount Castle. He was a big-time player in all this diddling shit.
Yeah.
And Danny Williams was once Byron Pryor's lawyer. So it's just all complicated, and I didn't give a fuck, because they're all crooks, and Byron Pryor was had made a deal with the devil. Fuck him. He was calling me a fed, right? So anyway, one of the fellows that was supporting him was this Zionist, Mr. Bacon Fat. And as soon as Byron Pryor got locked up this last time last summer, Bacon Fat turned on him big time. So anyway, I got Byron Pryor's old buddy to post a very important email. And that email, what happened was, as soon as Byron Pryor filed my documents on Friday the 13th of March, right? 3 days after Madoff plead guilty, right?
Yeah.
The judge, in a criminal matter where they're prosecuting him for criminal matter, section 301 of the criminal code, that judge changed his hat and immediately called him crazy and sent him to the loony bin. Now, listen to this very close. One of the directors of the loony bin is the judge's wife. The Craig, the doctor that oversees the loony bin, is a Dr. Mengele. Now, are you listening real close? The attorney, the Attorney General of Newfoundland, Tom Marshall, his cousin was a Dr. Marshall, a woman, Sandra, I think her name was. She was diddled by the same Supreme Court judge. Now, when she protested about it years ago, and she was a medical doctor, like Dr. Carley.
Yeah.
Right? They did the same shit to her that they tried with Dr. Carley, locked her up in the loony bin. That Dr. Mengele, whose name is Craig, gave her a double dose of these fucking drugs that you give psychotic people.
Yeah.
A double dose. But if you give it to a normal person, it makes them suicidal. He gave her a double dose, then opened the door and let her out. She killed herself immediately.
Oh, yeah.
This is all a matter of history, man. They were sued over this by her family. Her cousin is the Attorney General of Newfoundland. It's unbelievably crooked.
It is.
Fucking Newfoundland and St. Pierre and Miquelon are the most evil place on earth, and they're between the United States and your country. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a way station for pirates forever.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. I never thought of that,
It's a fucking way station for all the crooks. Newfoundland is, it's very complicated. But anyway, I played them like a fiddle. So then my second email, but now, look, click on the second link in that first email.
Oh.
It's from the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, yeah, Wall Street Journal, This is coming up.
Do you see where they're lining up on Iran?
Okay, Israeli debate striking Iran without U.S. consent. Iran is still loading. Let's load the headline.
That's the Wall Street fucking Journal. That's not Mr. Bacon Fat saying it. That's a Wall Street fucking Journal. Right?
Yeah, we've heard saber rattling over this, you know, here as well.
But now, as I'm saying about war, as I was telling you, I was listening to that other guy that was saying that nobody would buy the U.S. Treasury notes.
Yeah.
Put two and two together. So anyway, all that said, go to my second email now.
Let's just hold that load in the background and go to the second message. Oops. Oh, I clicked on the wrong thing.
Now, while it's loading, please understand this. The only country that didn't suffer from the last economic collapse was Canada. Everybody talks about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you've mentioned that to me before, I was sort of aware of that as well.
Yeah, our banks are making record profits. Okay, now.
Right, second one I've got. Let's see if John Adams, the current of CSE.
Yeah, that's the guy, that's the boss of the people that are listening to us right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now. It's a wonderful world of coincidences. You're going to fucking love this, right? But they locked me up in July the 4th, 2008. About a month and a half before that, they locked up Elliot Spitzer. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the first part of that email is an acknowledgement from the ombudsman of the TD Bank acknowledging he received all my emails and couldn't help me. The TD Bank is the most powerful bank in Canada. You see that? He acknowledges me.
Yeah. Also, he says, we appreciate the effort you have taken to express your views.
Y'all ain't fuck up. Look, but no. You see when he acknowledged me? What date?
Yeah, yeah.
What date?
Let's see. November 4th.
Who got elected November the 4th?
Was it, what's his face?
Mr. Obama.
Ah, no, I don't have that happen. The connection might go on, yeah.
When did the economy take a serious dive? The month before?
Right, yeah. October. Right, yeah.
You understand?
Okay.
And he had to acknowledge me because I had acknowledgement from the Prime Minister of Iceland.
Ah.
I had acknowledgements from banks in India promising to investigate before the economy slid.
Mm.
Now, never forget, I'm a Canadian, okay? Now, scroll down a little bit more in that email.
A long list of names, right? But...
that's the roster of the attendees of the Bilderbergers meetings in June of 2008, just after they had Spitzer arrested and just before they arrested me. Okay?
All right.
Now, look at the roster of the Bilderbergers meeting. You'll see... the Rockefellers, you'll see Henry Kissinger. But the folks I want you to notice are the guys from Canada.
Cam, Edwards, and Murray.
Yep. Do you see John Adams?
Let's see. Clark Edmund.
Okay, Clark Edmund.
John Adams, yep. Associate Deputy Minister of National Defense and Cheating and Flipping that, go on,
That's the boss of the CSE.
Yeah.
They're underneath the National Defense, you understand?
Okay.
Do you see Keith Alexander of the NSA there?
Yeah.
Those are the guys that snooped around the world for the benefit of businessmen.
Yeah.
They're both at the meeting. Now, you notice how I sign all my documents, Veritas Vincent?
I do, yes.
That's the motto of the Keith clan.
Okay.
Now, people often tease me about that. Because there's a beer bottle here which has the Keith crest on it by Alexander Keith. Yeah. That says Veritas Vincent, right? Isn't it funny?
Right.
In the wonderful world of backwards, the boss of the NSA is called Keith Alexander. Now that's fucking funny. But anyway, that said, please notice that Clark, the boss of the TD Bank, is there.
Mm-hmm.
And notice Frank McKenna. My enemy from the Maritimes. He's my enemy.
Oh, you mentioned him, yeah.
Right? You look at the key Canadians at that meeting, and look who else is there. Harper's advisor. Look at the Canadians who are there, right? And this is June of 2008, before there was an economic collapse.
Okay.
And you can see that Kissinger, Rockefeller, and everybody were planning... the economic collapse, just as Alex Jones and all them idiots say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And when the economy collapsed, look at it in retrospect 2 years later, okay? Mm-hmm. And the only guys to make out were who? Goldman and Sachs. Now, you understand the boss at the time of the U.S. Treasury... came from Goldman Sachs.
Right.
The boss of the Bank of Canada, Mark Carney, came from Goldman and Sachs.
Mm.
And the TD Bank and the Bank of Nova Scotia and everybody else made out like bandits. Because as they planned the collapse, They got to steal everybody's money. He's got to go somewhere. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it goes to Goldman Sachs and it goes to Canadian banks.
Right.
Get it?
Well, sort of. I mean, you know.
But the thing about it is, look at the roster of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Look who attended.
Yeah.
And then look at who I sent the email to. Because even though you don't understand it,
yeah,
rest assured the people I sent it to understand that I understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I sent it to John Adams. I sent it to Frank McKenna. I sent it to Frank McKenna's lawyer, Chris Montague.
Yeah.
I'm picking a fight big time, buddy.
Oh, I know that. I wouldn't expect anything less of you.
Yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, well, you know, as much as I can, what you told me.
I'm trying to stop a war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the money.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Mm.
War coming, buddy.
Yeah.
It don't look good. Like Obama. Oh, he's acting like he's mad at Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, if something starts out in Iran, the U.S. will look like good guys, but immediately come to the defense of Israel.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Obama, on the next side of his mouth, is talking about certain sanctions against Iran. And yet, all the congressmen and senators are all financed by Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
It's real bad, man.
It is.
Huh?
Yeah,
so anyway,
yeah.
Well, I figured everybody hates me anyway. I might as well be shot for a cow as a calf. And I couldn't laugh hard enough when I suckered Bacon Fat. And he's so drunk and stupid, he doesn't even understand what I did.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I did it. But anyway, if it don't work out, at least somebody understands. Guess what I'm going to do right now?
What are you going to do?
Get on a dirt bike and head for the woods.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
We'll see how the chit settles in a while. Huh? Because, I don't know, if you'd have to look at my email, but I put a bunch of different people from all sides of the fence in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, if I get lucky and somebody says my name, great. But I ain't betting on it because everybody's chicken shit.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? But they can't say I didn't do it. and I got all my ducks lined up. I don't know how it's going to fucking plan out, but it's getting interesting by the minute. But the concerns of David Amos won't amount to a hell of beans if a fucking war starts out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what you're doing is very important.
Yeah.
You know.
But I'm very glad to be in the Maritimes, I'll tell you that.
Right.
You know what I
mean? Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a fucking in a populated area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if the power went out in Boston for 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Turn into bedlam.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you deny people power and food for a couple of days, it'll get to dry. I'm very worried about my kids. They're in Boston. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
But anyway, everybody's calling me a bullshit liar, and they don't even have the first fucking clue. But I think you got an idea there, Andrew. I don't know. But anyway, that...
Yeah, I've got an idea of, you know, the sorts of connections that you're making and stuff. You know, it's obviously there's a lot of detail and a lot of history.
Yeah, but...
I wish we could record it all, you know, really. And
yeah, but you understand that every one of those last two emails I sent you, other than me telling people to fuck off, right? Are other people's words, not mine.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like that roster from Chantilly, Virginia came straight from Alex Jones's website.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff about the Netherlands, that came straight from the Prime Minister of Netherlands' website before he deleted it. Do you understand?
Wow.
He deleted that after they realized their mistake. Do you understand? And there was a young fella from the Maritimes. He's going for his doctorate over at a fancy university in Holland. I got that shit from his website. Now, he's part of the fake left. There's so many people that follow Alex Jones like he's fucking a preacher. They follow him like a fucking religion.
Oh, they do, yeah. No, no doubt about that.
And that young fella even though he's from here and met me in person, and I've given him my documents and CD.
Yeah.
He's met me at Werner Box Farm. He still follows Alex Jones, and I'm crazy. And who's Alex Jones? Nobody.
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody. Alex Jones only graduated high school in 1993. Mm-hmm. Fuck, man. I was married the second time by then.
Yeah.
Huh? What does Alex Jones know about life? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you know, really.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you a point.
Has he ever sued anybody? Has he ever been locked up? Is he a grandfather? What the fuck does he know about anything? Mm-hmm. He just gets information from other people and rails on the fucking internet. That's all he does. And he's got this huge following. It's controlled opposition. And have you ever heard Alex Jones say one word against the Zionists, against Jews?
No, people have pointed that out, though. And he gets very... you know, he basically says, oh, yeah, you know, I know all about that, but doesn't talk about it.
They're financing him. His wife's a Jew.
Yeah.
You understand? It's controlled opposition. Mm-hmm. Listen to what Jack Blood says about him. Now, Jack Blood is his best buddy, but he just turned on him. Listen to what Jack Blood says. Have you ever listened to that?
I've listened to him a couple of times. Not recently, though.
Listen to what he said recently. They just got a huge spit and chew. And he revealed a lot of shit about Alex Jones. Type in Jack Blood and Alex Jones. Listen for yourself.
Okay.
But what they're doing right now is they're causing infighting within all the truther movements, be they 9/11 truth or We Are Change or the guys... No planers or all the different issues, they're making them all attack each other. You understand?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's what they've done with us, you know.
We'll study the art of war. A Chinaman wrote that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Huh? But anyway. It won't matter. It really won't matter. Like, how many nukes Israel's got? 400?
Oh, God knows. I don't even want to think about it.
Well, they got, what, the fourth biggest army in the world?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I tell you, it won't matter who starts it. It'll be the Yankees lining up with Israelis and the Chinamen and the Russians lining up with Iran. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I hope the fuck it don't happen. But that's Wall Street Journal writing that shit.
And yeah.
You know who owns it, don't you?
I don't think so. I can't remember. Somebody Mark told me, but I can't remember.
Rupert Murdoch bought it.
Oh, did he? Oh, how interesting.
Now, there's a big-time Zionist, ain't he?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
Rupert Murdoch is lost. Or not, the Wall Street Journal's lost. Sam Zell, he bought the Chicago Tribune and all of, and the LA Times. There's another Zionist.
Yeah.
New York Times was always owned by the Zionists. You understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Oh, yeah, it's all Zionist controlled.
Yeah, big time. And, there's so many people that just sit in front of the boob tube all day long, take what CBC or BBC or whatever the fucking They want to feed us?
Our favorite big station title is CBS, because that's the most appropriate one.
Something incredibly funny happened yesterday. I'm sitting there in the camper, and CBC here in the Maritimes, a local reporter announced on CBC that Whitey Bulger was spotted in Victoria, B.C. He's that serial killer I've been stalking for years. I'm bounty hunting him. $2 million bounty on him. And I come close to getting him in 2004. He was in Seal Cove, Newfoundland. That's why they locked me up. But anyway, he's 80 years old now. And they even made movies about him. I told you about it, called The Departed.
Right.
So anyway, in the news yesterday, CBC and the fucking Maritimes, this idiot, announces on CBC, it was just on once, that Whitey Bulger had been spotted in Victoria, B.C., which is on the other side of the country. And they must have realized their mistake, because they never put it on air again, because I wanted to tape it, and I couldn't, because they wouldn't put it on air again. Because they realized their faux pas, because I'm sitting right here in Fredericton, and they know I'd fucking hear it, right? So, that said, I got to the web, and you can type in Whitey Bulger in Victoria. And it was like a big flash in the pan. Like, everybody picked it up. It was like the Boston Herald, the Toronto Star, all of them picked up on it.
Yeah.
It was yesterday. Whitey Bulger in Victoria. And then the FBI says, no, we think he might be, you know. And I'm going, what part of this don't you guys understand? It's pure bullshit. Pure bullshit. Do you think the FBI has jurisdiction in Canada that they can go around to bookstores and ask questions? No. Right? And I said, the last place Whitey Bulger would be Victoria, B.C. He's a fucking Irish Catholic mobster. Right? He would fit in with them hippies in Victoria, B.C. like he'd stick out like a sore thumb. It was like 5 years ago they were saying that, or 8 years ago, whenever, they said he was spotted in Italy.
Yeah.
Well, he killed about 80 Italian mobsters. Would you go to fucking Italy if you were an Irish Catholic with a Boston accent after killing that many Italian mobsters? I don't think so.
Right? I don't think you would really know.
No. Where he was right here in the Maritimes. Big time Irish Catholic contingent in Halifax and Newfoundland. It's all Irish Catholic. That's where he was. Right? So anyway, when they locked me up in Boston in 2004, just before they locked me up, the judge looked at my statement. She looked at statement number 8 of my affidavit and statement number 17 or 14, where I talk about Whitey Bulger, and if they lock me up or I get fucked up, my blood will be on her hands. So she asked me in open court, before she put the hammer down on me, she asked me where Whitey Bulger was, and I told her, Seal Cove, Newfoundland. On the record. And anyway, I'd been talking to Byron Pryor on the phone before I went to court, because my lawyer bailed, warned me about the FBI and all that shit. So anyway, Byron Pryor says, because October the 1st is the first day of hunting season up here, so we can take our shotguns anywhere. And Byron says, well, what if I go get him? Because there was $1 million award on him at that time. And I said, go get the old fuck. Drop him. Bury him. And send me a finger. He's wanted, dead or alive. You know, I got his finger, get the fingerprint. If the feds pay us $1 million, we'll submit the tape and tell them where the rest of them is. Now, we're saying this on the phone, and John Adams of the CSE and everybody are listening to our call. You understand? Well, whack, I get locked up. And as soon as I get out, it was in the news. Whitey Bulger was back in Boston. And he wanted to give himself up, and he wanted the $1 million reward to go to Andrew Bulger. Now, if you look at my file, cross-border, you can see I served Andrew Bulger. He's my wife's neighbor in Milton, Mass. He's a lawyer. He's Bulger's cousin or nephew. Well, I stood in court in November the 19th and told this Spanish-speaking judge, and me, a hairy bastard, Mike killed. I said, if Whitey Bulger give himself up, I want the damn reward because of what I told your boss on October the 1st. Woof, he disappeared again. And then you go, oh, Dave, you're crazy, right? And I'll allow you that, but go to my YouTube, where the one, me, myself, and I, where I'm talking on live news as I'm running for Parliament again years later, and then go down through the comments, and right in the middle of the comments in 2007, you can see a covert federal agent and I discussing where Whitey Bulger is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, no, fuck off, you can't fool me, no way he was in fucking Italy, etc. That's all just smoke and mirrors, kind of like Jimmy Hoffa, really.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, what happened to JFK or Jimmy Hoffa or fucking Whitey Bulger makes for good movies, but that ain't the truth of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And anyway, I'm saying, fuck, I said, I told the guys, I think my words were, have you ever heard the expression, mama, I come home to die? And he said, yeah, well, he ain't as sick as he lets on. And he said where he was at Christmas time, a place like called Greystone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, Whitey Bulger's as dead as Jimmy Hoffa.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason they talk about him being in Victoria, B.C., or fucking da-da-da-da-da, is because it gets people talking. It's good gossip.
Yeah.
They're never going to find his body, and they're never going to know his secrets. His brother was president of the Senate in Boston while he was head of the mob. You understand?
Wow.
And I'm here to tell you, my sources told me he came home to Boston and fucking died. You will never find him.
Right.
You understand? And you understand he was a paid informant for the FBI, and the FBI even helped him kill people, including my wife's Uncle Bill.
Right.
and they're sitting there talking about fucking Whitey Bulger. I'm just shaking my head. He's fucking dead, dead, dead. Why do you think they would offer him a $2 million bounty? He's second only to Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Do you think the FBI would offer a $2 million bounty on one man? Unless they were sure they would never have to pay it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Exactly.
And why are they doing this? It's because if you type in Whitey Bulger in the FBI, you can read, it's a matter of history, that he was a paid FBI informant. It's just the FBI and the RCMP trying to make him look good. And Whitey Bulger buried several of his victims in Canada. Nova Scotia is not very far from Boston by the water.
Right.
And you can type that in the web and see that too. Whitey Bulger was the head of the Irish Catholic. Now you know the IRA, you know both the Fenians and all the Irish Catholic in Boston. You have Ireland, right? Mad in England. You have Newfoundland in the middle. Byron Pryor, for God's sake. He worked at a marina, you know, and he run the truck that picks the boats up and puts them in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now, your IRA was all mad at England, kept bombing people. This was a long time ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, these fucking IRA dudes, they went to Toronto, and they bought this fucking fancy sailboat, right? And they made an arms deal, and they filled the fucking boat up with fucking guns. And then they had the sailboat trucked to Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then Byron picked the sailboat up off the truck or whatever and put it in the fucking water. He said it was so loaded with guns that he wasn't sure if it was going to make it across the fucking ocean. It was below its water line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he went and even had a drink with the bastards before they sailed away.
Wow.
I am not smart enough to make this up. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When Byron Pryor was about 10 or 11 years old, he lived in Grand Banks, Newfoundland, right? And his dad was a captain on a small freighter.
Yeah.
So he used to wait for his father to come. He tried to stay away from his mother because his mother was a whore and kept prostituting him and his sisters. So anyway, he spent most of his time down at the dock. And one thing he did was down at the docks, was bum cookies and treats from whatever boats were at the dock, you know?
Right.
They'd see like a cute little Newfoundland kid and maybe give him some cookies, you know what I mean? So anyway, he was there one time. He said it was cold. It was wintertime, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there was this huge ocean-going tug from the U.S. Navy. And, like, he's all about boats. It's Newfoundland. And, like, it was quite a thing to see this fucking... It's a serious tugboat. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those things can weather and pull and do anything. It was quite a piece of work, this huge U.S. Navy tug. So, anyway, he was bombing cookies or whatever. So, the sailors took this kid. He was, like, I don't know, 10, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Down into the mess. And they were giving him cookies, and he was looking, and he was sitting there, and he was looking at this old man sitting there.
Mm.
And he recognized the old man from the news. And the old man could see that he did, and he goes, "Yes, it's me." And Byron got up and run out of the place. Do you know who it was?
No.
LBJ.
Amazing.
Now think about this. If you were LBJ, you could put him on a special plane. He could land in Newfoundland, right?
Mm.
And then he could meet a tugboat, right?
Mm.
He'd get on that tugboat, and he could go have a powwow or something out in the fucking middle of the ocean, nobody listening.
Right.
See how it works?
Yeah.
You know, somebody else could have flown into Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
They both all get in the tugboat, go have the powwow where nobody can snoop or listen.
Yeah.
You understand? I don't know. We'll never know. We'll never know the truth of that. But that was before the Vietnam War.
And yeah.
After JFK was killed. And,
right.
And all you got is the word of a guy when he was 10 years old, and he's already signed an affidavit that he was a liar. But trust me on this, Byron Pryor and I are not smart enough to make up that story, and why would we?
No.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You start investigating Newfoundland and St. Pierre and Miquelon and Byron Pryor, and it's like, there's a reason they deleted all his stuff from the web.
Right.
But the guy they're scared of is me.
Mm.
They got him. They ain't got me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Byron is quick to make a deal with the devil, and I won't.
Yeah.
I won't sign a fucking affidavit saying I'm a liar. You'd have to shoot me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But some people will go for the money.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, that's what it is. You just look at history from June of 2008 to this June.
Mm-hmm.
Look who made all the money, and then look at the roster of that Bilderbergers meeting, and look at it from the history point of view. Look back 2 years, and then look what happened in the history since.
Yeah.
And compare it to The TD Bank answered me, and I don't know how it's all going to play out, but it's fucking interesting.
It is, isn't it?
And yes, like, the White House legal counsel did call me, just like I said. You know what I mean? It's like, I talked to their law office after Obama got elected. That all happened.
Yeah.
And nobody did a fucking thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, but I will tell you, the Maritimes just might fix things. I'm meeting some interesting people here after a few days. And, God bless Maritimers. And I ain't religious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just might be just some local little fucking hillbillies that will put Mr. Obama's fucking pants in a knot by way of local politicking.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened. Like, they talk about Iceland.
Yeah.
Now, Iceland is a population of what, 350,000 people? You know? And New Brunswick. Yeah. Nobody's ever heard of New Brunswick. But at least it has twice the population as Iceland. You know what I mean? And my experience with Deutschland is they're all fat, dumb, and happy. Maritimers are used to hard times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm a very proud Maritimer these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. Anyway, I'll let you go. And thanks for your time, Andrew.
Not at all. It's just amazing, really.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking we need to record this properly and go through it and put it up somewhere.
Nobody believes me. I put up on YouTube the conversation with Dr. Kylie and Dr. Bill.
Yeah.
Nobody listened to them.
We've got the same problem.
Nobody gives a damn. You know what I mean? There's a certain pleasure in understanding things anyway. But the local Maritimers that I'm going to talk to, there's an election coming here. You know what I mean? If somebody would say my name in England, it would have been all over by now, but they won't say my name. You know what I mean? You're busting up. Maybe.
I don't know what I said. You're busting up as well.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I think it's the usual crap. But anyway, too nice a day. I want to go for a ride, Andrew. But thanks for your time.